Hello, fellow fancy baseball nuts, and a very warm welcome to the Johnny and Josh Fancy Extra Show number 9. Now, if you're looking for half an hour of good company, fancy baseball discussion, and if you do play, like us, some tips to actually win your fancy baseball league, well, you're certainly in the right place. This is the Johnny and Josh Show Fancy Extra, episode number 9, joined as ever by the ever patient James Holden. Jimbo, lovely to hear from you.
Hello. It's sad. I kind of feel we're almost at the end of the regular season. You know, I'm worried. I might miss our weekly chats, Johnny. So but we're gonna carry on. Are we not through the winter?
Well, I'd like to, Jimbo. I've thoroughly enjoyed our weekly get together. I'm not sure we could probably manage a show a week. Maybe one every month. How does that grab you?
Perfect.
I think you're the man.
So look back on.
Yeah, I mean, James, you're the man that's told me that fancy baseball, if you're going to take it seriously, is a all-round 12-month slog. There's no such thing as time off just because they're not playing.
I think you're allowed December off. I think, you know, there's a couple of months to look back and look at how you've done and what you've learned. And then there's all those hopes and dreams that start coming in kind of halfway through January about this could be your year, etc. So,
I have to say, James, I'm very impressed with how perky you are, given the fact that we're actually recording this one on a Friday evening, and quite a late Friday evening, but you're showing loads of energy. And I'm wondering whether it's the knowledge that on this very day in 2010, and of course we are fellow Braves fans, the legend that is, that was, that always will be, Bobby Cox, retired at the end of that season. And on this night in 2010, he earned his 2,500th Major League victory as the manager of our Braves, blanking Washington at Nationals Park 5-0. Will there ever be a greater manager for the Braves than Bobby Cox?
For the Braves, maybe not. He did a brilliant job. All of those division championships, all in a row. Yeah, it's a shame we didn't get a couple more World Series. But yeah, really, really great manager, fantastic team. And hopefully we are now on the cusp of something similar.
Do you know what? I want to talk a little bit more just about what's happening going into the final weekend of the regular season. We will certainly do that later on in the show. But obviously, this is all about Fantasy Baseball Extra to the main Johnny and Josh Show, which for those of you listening in, if you haven't subscribed, please do on the Johnny and Josh Show. That's on Facebook or at Johnny and Josh on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and also I should say, I mean, we're available on any podcast provider, and if anybody is listening to or joining us for the first time, please do feel free to look back, listen to any previous episodes, and if this is your first listen or you never miss an episode, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star rating. That will enable the algorithm to ensure that even more people get served up with the show and can enjoy being part of it.
You won't be surprised to know, Jim, that none of that made any sense to me at all. I thought you were talking about maths equations for a moment. They're not a fancy podcast. Now, we are focusing on fancy baseball as we move into the final weekend. And I'm assuming the picture is slightly complicated by the fact that there is a very real possibility that Sunday night is not the end of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The playoffs are starting on Tuesday. Theoretically, the season finishes on Sunday, but it might actually finish on Monday. So I'd say there are sort of kind of three big things to be aware of. So first of all, as you said, Monday, St. Louis and Detroit may or may not play a doubleheader. They may play one game or they may play two games. And it all really depends on how games go for all the teams across this week as to whether St. Louis are already in the playoffs, whether their seeding in the playoffs is absolutely guaranteed. That will define whether or not there are those two extra games on Monday. But for fantasy managers, that does, you know, make you think quite hard, because it's quite useful to pick up, you know, players from those two teams if there are going to be two extra games on Monday. But if there aren't going to be those two extra games, there may be plenty of better options available that we'll talk about later. So that's one thing. The other thing I want to, you know, doubleheaders. There are still, we've had so many doubleheaders this season. Doubleheaders equals double stats. It's you know, we've talked a lot about maximizing the amount of at-bats you get. There are loads of doubleheaders still. Tonight, Friday night, and across the weekend, you've got to take advantage when you can, when it's, you know, if you're choosing between three games left or four games left. And finally, I'd say we've talked quite a lot before about kind of what I call a live races versus dead races. So in something like the AL Central, you've still got the White Sox, the Twins, the Indians. They're only separated by two games. I think any one of those three teams could still win the AL Central. So they're going to be absolutely going for it. Their starters are going to be doing at least five innings. They're going to be putting out their full hitting lineups, even if they've got a minor injury, because they want to get in the playoffs. They want to get the optimum seeding. They're not going to be resting players. You compare that to somebody like the LA Dodgers. They've had the National League West sewn up for days. They've been resting people. And Atlanta, who we're delighted to say have clinched the National League East. But yeah, Brian Snitker, the manager there, has said he will rest one or two players every night. Not all of them, but certainly most of them will get at least one night off before at the end of the season.
Which makes life precarious for us fantasy baseball managers. I mean, even in a regular, normal, non-COVID season, I'm pulling my hair out when players in the middle of hot streaks get benched because they need a rest. And you're like, don't give him a rest. He's flying. He's got that sweet. And you always know when they come back the following night after a good night off, and they're useless to go 0-4. And you sometimes think, do they care about us fantasy baseball managers?
I love the thought of you kind of sitting there with your big stick. Go, come on, you've only played for 140 nights in a row. Get back out there.
Absolutely. Wait, if Cal Ripken can play for 2,632 games without missing a single one, they need to just pull their socks up. Anyway, that's just me being old school. Look, before we get into the suitcase, and on this occasion, it's probably not even as big as a suitcase, given the fact that we're into the final stretch. I did want to get your thoughts just on this season and the uniqueness of this season. You know, 16 playoff teams. We've got a universal DH. We've got seven inning double headers. It is a season like no other. Have you actually enjoyed it from a fantasy baseball perspective?
Yeah, I have. It's been really different. I mean, it's we've talked before, and I'd love to do an off-season episode, the differences between sort of a roto league, a dynasty league, a head-to-head league, a keeper league. So they all have different things, and part of the reason I play a number of different leagues is because they challenge you in different kind of ways, and you know they get exciting at different sort of times of the season. But this season has been so random and so different. Personally, I found it fantastic fun. So there's been a real focus on some very different players than usual. We've talked often in the podcast about, you know, the playing the hot hand. And actually, you know, it's a player having a cold spell for a couple of months, that's actually become a season-long one now. You know, also, there's been no April. I mean, April's a horrible time in fantasy baseball. A lot of players have very cold starts. And literally, the weather's awful, particularly in the north of the US and Canada. That's been great. Although having said that, I mean, you know, we've talked about playing the hot hand. There've been lots of interesting players, but actually, by the end of the season, I think when we look back at who are the top 20 fantasy players this year, and we'll certainly do that next week in the fantasy podcast, I think they probably would have been most of the top players. Other players have cut through, and there will be several. But even in a truncated season, the top players really have shined. So yeah, I've loved it, to be honest. Just really something different. So and a chance to look at different players. I've got a question for you, actually, because I was looking on Twitter and one of the listeners to the show, a guy called Thierry Draper, had asked a question about who is Johnny's baseball idol now? So, and I was actually going to tweak that. And I was going to say, actually, in a fantasy context, Johnny, who is your fantasy baseball idol?
Isn't that interesting? Because obviously, most of the all-time watchers and listeners, certainly for Channel 5 Baseball, will know that my all-time favourite player, I absolutely loved him. In fact, I had him in a fantasy baseball team even after he'd retired, because I just thought, you know, I got three bench spots. I just want him there as like a comfort blanket. And that is, of course, the legend that was Chipper Jones, the player that I've loved more than any other player in the history of baseball, being a Braves fan. I don't sort of feel that anymore. There's no player out there that I identify in quite the same way as I did with Chipper, who I absolutely adored. So my love of a player in a fantasy sense, and I'm assuming that's the question you're asking, is inevitably it's players on my team that have done the business. So if I could throw a few out for you, I mean, pitching prospect, for instance, I picked up Ian Anderson, the Atlanta chucker, and what a job he's done. I mean, what a job this young man has done. 32 innings pitched, 41 Ks. He's only got 3 wins because he hasn't had that many starts. But a 1.95 ERA and a 1.08 whip. I mean, what's not to like about a young man that, you know, yes, he's a prospect, but you're taking a massive risk. Picked him up for $1 off the waiver wire when he was, you know, when he was available at the start of the season, and he's done me proud. So I'm a big Ian Anderson fan. I hope he goes on to bigger and better things next season. Waiver wire pickup. That's obviously completely a bit different to someone you may have drafted, whether it's online or through an auction draft, and I think you'll already have guessed which one. Carl Lewis, I think, was it $2, $1, one or the other? 11 home runs, 37 runs, 28 RBIs. He even stole 4 bases.
He's going to be fantastic. I'm sure he's going to win the AL Rookie of the Year.
Do you think so? I hope so.
I think absolutely. The way that Luis Robert has really gone ice cold as well. I think amazing. And yeah, I think it was $1 that you spent on him. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously I showed no loyalty to him because, as you know, I traded him. But I did trade him as the curve started to come down after an amazing 6 weeks that I had him for. So love him, and I hope he does well next season. But in terms of drafted players, drafted hitters, I mean, I picked up Jose Ramirez. I picked up Trey Turner. They've done the business. They cost me a lot of money, but they were worth it. They've been absolutely brilliant. But I'm going to come out with my favourite hitter, drafted hitter, one you're probably not going to guess, but that's combination of one that I can't take my heart out of fantasy baseball, and whereas I know you can, which is why you're so much better at one of the many reasons why you're so much better than I am. Dansby Swanson is my man. I mean, no one rated him. You know that, Jim. Nobody said he was going to have except for you and me. You and I were discussing him, convinced this was going to be that season when he started to do the business. I know he's been cold for the last few weeks, but I traded him away and I've picked him up again off the waiver wire, so I don't care. But, you know, you look at his numbers, 48 runs, 9 home runs, 33 RBIs, 5 stolen bases, 3.48 on base percentage. I mean, those stats, there's very few shortstops that match up to that. That, to me, was the best money I spent in the auction draft, because it didn't cost me hardly anything at all. And drafted pitcher, for my money, the man that has to be the NL Cy Young Award winner, Trevor Bauer, produced everything I could have expected of him. 100 Ks, 1.73 ERA, 0.795 whip, 5 wins with those numbers from 11 starts. That is a fantasy baseball tragedy. That is a travesty of justice. The Cincinnati Red hitters should hang their heads in shame, because it's quite simply a lack of run support is the only explanation for a man who's pitched that well to only have 5 wins.
It's almost like you may have mentioned this once or twice to me already this week.
Well, I think bored you might be a slightly more
I should say, I'm conscious, you know, there are some several new listeners to the show in recent weeks. And if you are a newer listener, the bad luck that Johnny's team, you know, endures year after year is a fairly regular theme. it's worth saying. So get used
Johnny
to
Jinx,
it.
Johnny Jinx, mate. You know what it's called. It's the Johnny Jinx.
The Johnny Jinx.
Something that you obviously, Jimbo, never suffer from, because you have an uncanny ability. So with the array of continued success stories that is your fantasy baseball career, have you got any standout fantasy players? I mean, there's one obvious one, because you paid silly money for him this season. So clear you lost all sense of control.
Yeah, for me, I mean Ronnie. Ronald Acuna is, you know, I have bought the T-shirt. I've got it's just amazing. I mean, for me, anybody who brings power and speed to the fantasy table, that's it. I'm sold. You know, so yeah, I mean, Ronald Acuna is everything. I do have him a couple of places, and it is completely jeopardized my entire success in one of the main leagues we play in, because I put quite such a significant share of my budget to make sure I have him, because I just wanted him. But so this year, again, if I follow that theme of players who bring power and speed, Mookie Betts has been amazing. Yeah. But actually, one player I've really enjoyed, I've got him 2 places, is Will Myers, who hasn't done it for a few years, but I think he's had a fantastic season. I think he's been great. And players, I've only got Cody Bellinger in one place. I have Christian Yelich nowhere. But actually, they are players who haven't bought the power and speed and really should have done. And I think will have derailed a lot of people's a lot of people's.
And they're first round picks, aren't they? I mean, whether it's an online or whether it's an auction, you're going to spend big money to get them, and they have not produced the numbers. You have lost in terms of value. That is a losing investment this season.
Absolutely, absolutely, for a lot of people. And who's to say they wouldn't have turned it round across a 6 month season? But we haven't got 6 months. We've got 60 days. So yeah.
Which is why, which is what interested me, Jimbo, about what you were saying earlier about that. In the end, it is the better players that are at the top of the pile, and yet the reality is there are a few that aren't, and a lot to do with the fact that it is such a truncated season that they've only got 2 months. If they have a month where they really are cold, which is quite common, they haven't got the time to make up for it as they would have in a regular season.
Absolutely. I mean, if you remember Jose Ramirez from last season, the first half, oh,
horrific.
Awful.
Yeah.
You can't drop him, he's far too good. And yes, he was red hot in the second half. And yes, he ended up as a top 25 player. But almost, you know, the opportunity cost of having him in your lineup for the whole of that first half season when you could have had somebody else was very, very painful. So it's difficult. But I think, you know, like you told, the gambles, the other thing I really love, and I really sort of care for in my teams each year, is the gambles that come off the waiver wire. As you know, I mean, I don't think I'm a particularly good drafter. I enjoy it, but I kind of get too stuck in the chat and the trying to outbid and trying to sort of waylay people. But I love picking players off the waiver wire. I mean, that is my favourite bit of fantasy baseball. So a couple of the ones to pick up this year, I mean, Teoscar Hernandez, I have three places. He's been amazing. And I think... I mean, I think, and you know, he has truly broken out, and I see nothing in the underlying stacks that don't make this look real. So, yes, I think absolutely.
Can I? Sorry to interrupt, but so were you saying that next season you anticipate he'll be performing at the same level, or is this a one-off?
I think this is a high bar, but I don't think, yeah, I mean, you know, you could have got him outside the top 200 this season. I think you'll struggle to get him outside the top 75 next year.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be worth it. I'm not saying I'll pay a top 25. Price on him, but certainly so if I'm there and I've got the 65th pick and he's there, I wouldn't have a problem taking him. I mean, yeah. Of course, I'll be looking for the next Teoscar, you know, but I see nothing under. It's similar actually to the other players, to say Mike Yastrzemski, we've mentioned a number of times in the early part of the season about do pick him up. I only have him in one place. And he's been superb. And he's somebody who did this last year, who broke out, you know, at the age of 30. Surely he can't maintain it. He has. And again, there's nothing in his stats to think that this isn't the level he's going to continue to perform at for the next few years. So I think he's great. And if I pick, you know, very quickly on pitchers, you know, you and I both have in different leagues a guy called Devin Williams, Milwaukee pitcher. Really has put in one of the most unbelievable relief pitcher seasons in recent times. And actually, I saw somewhere the other day, in terms of stats, he is a top 30 pitcher in fantasy baseball this year, who, you know, I think I know lots of players. I'd never heard of him 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and now absolutely, I'm delighted. I did manage to pick him up in my Dynasty League, and hopefully he'll go on to become, you know, the next Josh Hader or something. But
that as his long-term future? Because obviously the fact is he's only considered number 30 given his season is because he's a relief pitcher. Do you see him as a closer moving?
Yeah, I mean, he's you know, the Brewers had him as a you know, he was a starter coming up through the minor leagues, and it's only last year I think he transfer to becoming a reliever. So yes, I think he'll remain as a reliever at a very, very high level. Yes. I think the challenge for him and anybody who throws that hard, that fast, with that much spin on the ball, there's obviously
health issues
and elbow issues and shoulder issues, and I'd say there is, a you know, for any pitcher throwing that hard, a risk of Tommy John coming somewhere down the line.
I have to say, mate, I mean, sport's not good for your health. That's the reality. Certainly not professional sport, and any professional sport, it seems. But baseball, in particular, what it seems to do to their, I mean, particularly for pitchers, you know, Tommy John surgery seems to be almost common. If you haven't had one, you're a freak. I mean, it's not really the most natural thing in the world to throw a baseball at 90-plus miles per hour and put spin and movement on it with, you know, I mean, the whole arm action. I mean, it's not surprising there's so many injuries.
No. No, it's not, and now the expectations. I know players are probably stronger. I think medical science is much better, nutrition is better, but the expectations of quite how hard and quite how much movement is required, yes, must put an awful lot of stress on the body. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, buddy, that's great to hear about your faves, and you're not. Well, you know what we haven't done? Who don't you like? Who do you avoid?
Well, we'll do that
next week.
There's another off-season one. There's players I never draft in fantasy. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've got a few, so I'm certainly happy to share them. Okay, well, let's move on to the suitcase, which has been a very popular part of all our previous podcasts. I mean, given how little time there is left in the regular season, I'm assuming we're not talking a suitcase. I'm assuming we're flying Ryanair and we've just got a walk on. Have you got anybody?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Let's do a very small carry-on baggage that we can put in the overhead. Yeah, a small rucksack we can put in the overhead. First I'd say any Detroit or St. Louis player, if they do play on Monday, keep that in mind. That's going to be full lineups, and that is going to be stats available. They may or may not, depending on how other results go, but keep an eye on that. Okay. Catcher, Andrew Knapp of the Phillies. JT Realmuto has been injured, so Knapp's been playing quite a lot, and since Realmuto has come back, he's been playing primarily first base or DH. The Phillies do score runs. They're still on the outside looking in, hoping to get possibly the last playoff place, so they're going to be going for it. There could be runs there, and the Phillies have got a decent lineup.
How annoying is any owners of JT? I mean, clearly injured, what, was off for 10 days, yet they didn't put him on the IL, so you couldn't just sort of slip him on the IL and pick somebody else up. You had to use up a bench spot. Nightmare.
Really frustrating, and as you say, it's almost like they don't care for fantasy managers.
Exactly.
I'm coming around to your way of thinking.
Right, corner infield.
Okay, so yeah, corner infield. I'm going to go for Miguel Cabrera at the Detroit first baseman.
You're kidding me. He's about 103.
He's 103, but he's also red hot.
He's
got like homers in the last 2 days, and again, there's two extra games on Monday. That could get a few more counting stats for Miggy. But yeah, I was astonished to find him in there. I really was, but he's there.
But not if you're chasing stolen bases.
No, probably not your man. He might get one by Christmas if you let him start soon.
Okay, middle infield.
Okay, let's go, Joey Wendell. Tampa Bay, he's eligible second base, third base, shortstop in most leagues. He's really versatile and he's hitting really well. He's got a 444 average this week. He's got 8 stolen bases this year. Hitting well. If you need somebody, he's going to be playing. And looking good heading into the playoffs for Tampa Bay.
Okay. Outfield, usually more choice there.
There is. I've got a couple for you, even in the small rucksack. So first of all, Dylan Carlson.
Yes! I picked him up last night.
Oh, I've got to try harder, haven't I, to find players? Not on my team.
Yeah. Well, I picked him up not only because he's hot, but also because of what's happening on Monday, or the possibility of what's happening on Monday.
Exactly. So he's St. Louis in the outfield. Exactly. He's been really hot since he's come back into the team from the alternate site. Very different Dylan Carlson to the one we saw earlier in the season. And those two extra games, as you say. Excuse me. And the other guy I quite like at the moment, Austin Hayes of Baltimore. He's hot at the moment. And Baltimore have got 3 nights in the Buffalo hitter's paradise to end the season. So, where else would you want to end if you're a hitter?
This is a precarious time of year to be streaming your pitchers. It can go horribly wrong and have the total opposite effect of what you're doing, particularly if you're in the push to avoid the relegation zone, or even worse, in a push to try and win a championship. This is a make or break, isn't it? Are there any streamers out there that you would even consider?
I mean, there's actually several. I mean, I think a lot has to depend slightly on who the teams are playing and who's in that lineup. I mean, we're really getting to that stage. So actually, I've got a couple of people who I'm looking at on Sunday. First of all, guy Austin Gomba of St. Louis. They're at home to Milwaukee. Milwaukee are out of it. St. Louis are really trying to win. Last week he suddenly did 6 innings, didn't give up a run. It's the first time he's got to 6 innings. He's been working his way up from 2 innings, 3 innings, etc. I think that's an interesting one. And the other one is Drew Smyly of San Francisco.
Yeah.
We tipped him in the suitcase last week. He had a really good start on Tuesday, so that gives me faith. And again, they are playing San Diego on Sunday. I think the Padres by then will absolutely have cemented the fourth seed. You know, they can't get the third, they can't get, probably won't be the fifth. So if they've got their fourth seed, I don't see them putting out anything remotely like a full lineup on Sunday. And San Francisco, I think, really will be trying to get those wins in to try to eke into that eighth spot in the National League. So Austin Gomber, St. Louis on Sunday, and Drew Smyly, San Francisco on Sunday.
That's a big key scenario, isn't it, at the moment? Because just having a look at the standings, this is Friday night that I'm looking at here. As we both know, the American League is pretty much sorted, but other than the seedings. But the National League, I mean, it's still so open, which presumably is an argument for these expanded playoffs, because there are so many teams still very much in it. And you mentioned San Francisco. They cannot afford to lose. They're right on the cusp. They've got to keep going, and they've got to try hard. And if you come up against a team that are there, and as San Diego are, good possibility they're resting, whereas you're doing the exact opposite. So you want to get those Giants in your team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's plenty of others. We talked about, you know, if you wanted another outfielder, Austin Slater's come back from injury from San Francisco. I really like him. He's got speed. He gets on base. He gets runs. Great player.
And actually, it's interesting because I was looking at the waiver wire for our auction league tonight, and there are a number of Giants who I feel have not got the love that they've deserved. You look at their runs scored this season, so you're looking at your hitters. You know, 283, that's not shabby. That's more than any team in the National League Central by quite some margin, and more than any team in the East, bar Atlanta. So basically, I think they've scored the fourth most runs in the whole of the National League.
Yeah, they're a top 10 offense this year, which is really interesting. You know, it's traditionally been a pitcher's park, and to some extent still is. But yeah, a lot of things have clicked, you know, and across the 56 games or whatever they've played so far, they've played really well as a team. People like Mike Gostrensky, as we talked about, have done well. Donovan Solano, Austin Slater. So yeah, I think, you know, it's a really interesting time. I think the Giants are a team that have been in the doldrums for a bit. They're a team that are trying to get it together and go on a rise. And I think it's a really good start. They've got some fantastic prospects in their minor league ranks. So yeah, give it a couple of years, and I think they'll be a real force again in the West.
Well, that will be music to the ears of Mike Dowling, who's my old mate. He's a regular, regular viewer of Channel 5 Baseball all those years ago, who's listening to all the podcasts, this one and the main show.
Excellent.
And he is always describes himself as the UK's number one Giants fan. So he'll be very happy to hear you say that. Right, mate. What about relief pitchers in the very small suitcase that looks like a rucksack?
I'd say the very small the small suitcase looks all right. Over the weekend, as ever, there are closers emerging from nowhere. So first of all, Mike Mayers, LA Angels. I mean, he's been coming through. He's been pitching really well recently. He's got a couple of wins, and actually, he's now appears to have stepped into the LA Angels closer role. So even the Angels, we know, are playing much better than they in the last few weeks than they were for the most of the season. So I think he's quite interesting. He's only rostered in 12% of leagues, and if you desperately need any saves over the weekend and you've got space, I'd pop him in. And the other two to look at, again, think about Monday, Genesis Cabrera of St. Louis. I think if it's a double header, if Andrew Miller's likely to get the first save, they might keep Cabrera back for the second save. He got one earlier this week. And Brian Garcia of Detroit, who I think is the Detroit closer. It's a double header, good chance, you know, if they split that. So yes, I'd be looking at those guys, Genesis Cabrera, Brian Garcia, both of whom, as with everybody in the small rucksack, owned in less than 20% of rostered in less than 20% of ESPN leagues.
Okay, well, that's the easy one, the less than 20%. What isn't is our famed Hail Mary. Where do you put the bar? Is it 1%, 3% rostered in? I can't remember. Yeah, what were your conditions?
1%, less than 1%. 1%. No, that's right, what we said. I can't believe you're asking for a Hail Mary for the last three nights of the season.
I love the Hail Mary. Because I want to look back. What I want to do next week is I definitively want to dig out all the old scripts from the shows previously and have a look at your Hail Marys and do a sort of chart of success.
I'm actually happy with my Hail Marys than an awful lot of the much more vaunted picks I made at the beginning of the season. So I'm
quite happy to do that.
Okay. Let's do that. Okay. Yeah, my, you know, Yoan Moncada to definitely be a top 30 player. I think I'm still blaming the effects of COVID on that. We'll have to wait for next year. But yeah, there's plenty of bad ones, but there are a couple of good Hail Marys. You know what I'm going to give you this year? I'm actually just going to go for somebody I really like as a player. We talked about, you know, I love players with power and speed. And I am giving you Franchi Cordero of Kansas City.
Kansas, yes.
He's just awesome. He's been injured a lot. He was in San Diego for ages. They had too many outfielders, you know. He got traded to Kansas early this season. Again, he's been injured in the minors and stuff. I mean, maybe this is for next year, but I really like Franchi Cordero. He's come back in the Kansas team. He got two home runs early this week. I love him. I'd pick him up if you need somebody.
How old is he?
Oh, he's not young. I don't know. I'm going to gamble on mid-20s.
Right, you so know, in terms of him, the way you were describing him is that he's a bit of a sick note, that he's always getting injured. Is that
he's had a certain number of injuries, but he's just very he's just a very exciting player. That's all I would say.
Okay.
I'm desperately trying to find his age now. I'm going to find...
Well, whilst you're doing the investigation...
Yeah, 26. 26.
Hey, you said 26. Great, good.
There we are. So he hasn't peaked yet. So, yeah, that'll be one of my... that will almost certainly be an early Hail Mary at the beginning of next season. I love Franchi Cordero.
I'm not going to throw that script away. I'm going to make notes on the basis of next season, because obviously preparation for 2021 starts here, starts now. Jumbo, before we go, how are you doing in terms of all the hundreds of leagues? Do you take the approach I do and just enter hundreds of leagues on the basis that you'll be successful in at least a couple of them?
It's actually a bit of variety. I mean, I actually, there was one year when I did eight, and I think, yeah, I mean, I didn't see enough of my other half of my children and my, you know, over that summer, so I try to do less, but I do a variety of different leagues. So, you know, I do a couple of roto leagues, I do a head-to-head league, which I absolutely hate. It's just head-to-head. I mean, it's you can, because of the playoffs at the end, so you can have had the best team all season, and then the playoffs is a total lottery. Kind of similar to, I mean, it's much more similar to actual baseball, but it's not. And I know where you're going with this, by the way, on the head-to-head.
No.
I should say, Johnny is currently competing in the head-to-head final this week, whilst, I didn't even make the playoffs. So
I do think we should point out, as you did on the league email, that last season I came last in our head-to-head league.
You
so
did.
This is a massive reversal of form.
You've turned it around. You're doing great. So that's brilliant. But it's a couple I really did. So I also do a dynasty league where you kind of keep, in that one we keep 25 major league players and 35 minor league players forever. You can change them each season and pick up a few additional players. And in that one, actually, I mean, I haven't got a great team, but I'm second in that, which is slightly odd. Again, there's two picking up loads of people off the waiver wire. Very excited, and I've got a chance of winning that one. And a keeper league, I'm second in that one as well, too far behind the leader. A nice balance, I would say, across different sorts of leagues. Come on then, let's hear.
Hang on, before we move on. So is there no gold in the horizon at the end of this season for Jay Golden?
Maybe. We'll discuss it next week. We should see. Okay. We should see. There's one that's 2 points above. Come on, Jonathan. How are you doing? Do tell us.
Jumbo, I mean, you obviously don't need to ask me, because we've spent, 9 months chatting as mates, and I've been under your guidance and your advice. And I have to say, all the stuff you told me pre-season, you know, so much of it made so much sense. And I think proving your fantasy baseball legendary status in the mere fact that you've educated a fantasy baseball moron like me to actually be vaguely competitive, as proven by the fact that I think I'm in four leagues this year, and at the moment I've got a chance of winning two of them, which would be unheard of. I mean, the bookies would be running for the hills. They offered such enormous odds against the possibility of that happening. So I don't want to talk anymore, because I'll jinx it.
No.
I'm in with a shout, Jimbo, and that's all that matters. And one of the leagues, which of course you're in as well, you will know, has been going for many, many, many years, long before you even joined us and took over and won virtually every year. It's been going, I was trying to work it out the other night, I think it's like 15, 16 years, and I'm one of the original members, and I've never won it. So if I don't win it this year, it will be hard. It will be very, very hard.
I'd just like to say that if you are listening to the podcast next week and it's only me and Johnny is there, please do listen. It'll be fun. It'll be different. But,
I promise.
Johnny, Johnny will be back before Christmas.
But if I fail, if I lose again, I promise I will be here. I will be with you. I just can't guarantee that you'll hear anything I'm saying because I'll be sobbing like a baby. Anyway, it's been fun. It's been fun. And so much excitement. And actually, you know, we were talking earlier about the whole season, and I'm with you. I've loved it. I hate to say it. I've really loved the fact that it's that sort of truncated 2 months, because I felt that if I really invested some time, that it wasn't going to be forever. So I wasn't, one, going to be divorced, and two, forget what my son looks like, you know, that life would go on in a normality. And people seem more accepting when they know there's only a few weeks of it. Whereas, you know, oh no, darling, the season will be over in 4 months. Don't worry, I'll see you in September, you know. So I've loved it. I mean, it's set different challenges, as we know. And it's been really interesting, some of the changes they've made. I'm not in favour of it remaining in a regular season, but some of the changes they've made, I particularly like the one of putting a runner on second when it goes to extra innings. I think that's a great idea, personally, because I'm not sure I enjoy the idea of a 17-inning game of baseball.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, maybe we're not the purists. I think that's one of the least likely ones to be continued with. But, I agree. I think it's a shame. I think anything we can do to just make it feel... really exciting and engaging for, you know, and bringing a broader audience. I think.
Well, if you're at the stadium, you're watching the game, and you go to extra innings, and the first thing that happens is there's a man on second in scoring position. For me, that's unbelievably exciting, and it's a game. It's meant to be entertainment. I know it's professional sport, but at the end of the day, you want the crowds, you want the fans, and if that entertains, why not? Why not do it?
As you know, I've got a gaggle of, you know, relatively young girls who are, you know, theoretically approaching teenagedom at some time very soon. And I mean, the thought of getting them in for a 7-inning game is just about possible. But the thought of encouraging them to come along and sit through an 18-inning pitchers duel is so far out there. So I think there's a place for both, but I definitely think this season has, I think for a lot of, you know, neutrals or minor slightly interested people, it's just been really good, and hopefully it's reignited a lot of people's interest in baseball. So
some exciting players as well, Tatis Jr., you know, Freddie Freeman.
Acuna.
I do love Tatis. I have to say, I do love Tatis. I just love the way he plays the game. Smile on his face, incredibly talented. You talk about power and speed.
There you go. I just say this to Thierry, who sent in that question. You say, He does still love Tatis Jr.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just he's killing me in my major league. He could be one of the reasons why I don't win. So that's the only reason I'm not quite as in love with him as I would be. But I can tell you now, I'll definitely be targeting him next season, that's for sure. Jimbo, as always, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, your wisdom and your input.
You too. Always fun. Thanks very much. And we will chat next week. Certainly the fantasy season will be over.
I look forward to it. I wish you the very best of luck with the last couple of nights for your leagues. And to everybody out there listening, if you're in contention, may you be successful. If you're trying to avoid relegation, don't give up. Focus. Keep going. Take the advice of Big Jim. And we'll be back to talk about the season and a roundup of the season same time next week. Till then, bye-bye.